Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the December 1st Santa Ana Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. We're meeting today at Loma Linda City Hall, and we thank the city for their graciousness and hospitality today. I'd like to begin with introductions. We are meeting in person and via Zoom, and this meeting is being webcast and recorded. For those who have completed a virtual speaker card for this Zoom meeting, you will be on mute and your camera turned off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera, if you have one. When you are done speaking, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting or exit the meeting at that time. For people who only want to listen or watch the meeting, the board's customary webcast is also available. I'd now like to ask our board members to introduce themselves, and I will be Vice Chair Letitia Clark. I believe she's joining me by Zoom. Letitia, are you there? We can come back if that would be helpful.
Can you hear me?
Sorry.
There she is.
Hi, everyone. Good to be with you, albeit virtual. Happy holidays. My name is Letitia Clark. I'm serving as vice chair this year, and I live in the great city of Tustin, and looking forward to a productive last meeting of 2023. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. And now I'd like to ask Directors Alvarado and Rue to introduce themselves. But first, I want to congratulate them on being reappointed by the governor to another four-year term. Thank you both for your service. And I'll start with Director Rue and then Director Alvarado.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Bill Rue. I, as the chair just indicated, have been reappointed to this board, and I look forward to another 4 years of working to keep our water system as it should be and to protect our environment. In my life away from here, I am a council member in the city of Montclair, where I was first elected in 1998. So I've been on for a while, and I love public service. And everybody out there, thank you for taking time out of your day to be here.
Good morning, everyone. Gloria Alvarado, resident of the city of Santa Ana. And yes, again, reappointed, very happy to continue working and looking forward to our work in the next few years. Thank you.
And board member Scandura.
Sure. Good morning. My name is John Scandura. I'm from Huntington Beach, California, but I was born and raised here in the Inland Empire. Welcome to everybody who's present here at the meeting in Loma Linda today, and also to all of those who are viewing online. And we look forward to your participation.
Thank you. And I have a brief bio and introduction for our newest board member, and then I'll give him the floor to say a few words. But our newest board member, Al Lopez of Corona, has been appointed to the Santa Ana Regional Water Quality Control Board. Board Member Lopez served as a member of the Western Municipal Water District Board of Directors from 2001 to 2020. He was founder of the Inland Empire Infill Homes from 2017 to 2020. Was community relations manager for the Continental East Development Incorporated from 2018 to 2020. He was a prior member of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California Board of Directors from 05 to 07. We just missed each other there. I came on board in 08. This position requires Senate confirmation, and the compensation is $250 per diem. Board Member Lopez is registered without party preference. So that's the official biography. And now I give the floor to you, and thank you and welcome. We appreciate your service.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I want to thank everyone here that's here today, and I appreciate the opportunity. That was a short version. I have a long version of my bio if you'd like to. You'd like to see it, you know, but nevertheless, I really appreciate the opportunity to serve on this board. I am from Corona. I've lived in Corona since 1964. I originally from Texas. I started my public office and community involvement in 1974. That's a long time, you know. I've been I did serve on the Corona City Council for 12 years from 1982 to 1994. And I served as mayor in 1986 and 1991. And of course, having served on 20 years also from 2000 to 2020 on the Western Municipal Water District. My background lends itself to this board. I have a wide experience and participation in a lot of issues that impact our communities, going back to education, healthcare, environment, water, recycled water, environmental issues. So I hope that my participation will be positive, and I look forward to working with the staff and the board and everyone involved. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And my name's Chris Murray. I chair our Regional Water Quality Control Board. It is my great honor to do so. I've just also recently this year been reappointed to another 4-year term, and my Senate confirmation came through in September. So I'm very pleased to be able to conduct additional service for additional 4 years with my colleagues who I genuinely enjoy working with. With that, we'll move on to our public forum. We welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a speaker request. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time the item is being considered. If you wish to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, you may speak now during the public forum. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Jessica, do we have any speaker cards?
Yes, we have one speaker, Irene Cordero.
Yeah, and we're going to provide 10 minutes for your presentation today. We appreciate your time and welcome.
Can I move this? Oh, it's kind of loud, actually. Okay, thank you. So thank you so much for your time and attention today. My name is Irene Cordero, and I'm the cleanups coordinator at Orange County Coastkeeper. And I'm here to present on our cleanup efforts and our pollution observations solely based on through our cleanup program. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Now, just a little bit about me. I've lived in LA and Orange County for about 10 years now. I graduated from UCI in June of 2022 with 2 bachelor's degrees, one in environmental science and policy, and the second in earth system science. And I originally joined the Orange County Coastkeeper team as an intern back in March of 2022. And I was quickly hired on after my graduation day as a part-time staff member. And I've been with Coastkeeper full-time ever since March, happily. Next slide, please. Now, in case you aren't familiar with Orange County Coastkeeper, we're an environmental nonprofit, and our mission is to protect swimmable, drinkable, and fishable water in Orange County and to promote watershed resilience. And we tackle this mission through 5 pillars: education, research, advocacy, enforcement, and restoration. Next slide. Now, I wanted to set the stage for this presentation with some trash statistics. Every year, it's estimated that 8 million tons of plastic makes it out into our ocean and marine life. That's on top of the estimated 200 million tons already circulating in our waterways and ocean. And it's estimated that 80% of this trash is made out of plastic. And the sad truth is that it takes between 500 to 1,000 years for plastic to degrade. And even when we can't see it and we think it's fully gone, a lot of it still lives there as microplastics. Now, I often hear that, you know, plastic isn't an issue because we can recycle it. But the honest truth is that only 10% of this plastic, the plastic that we produce, is currently being recycled. Now, on the bottom right-hand corner, this is a regular Google image of what our channel looked like. Anyone can see this if they Google the location of our channel. And what I've circled in red is all the white stuff, and all of that is trash that's been piled up on our trash diversion. And unfortunately, that's still what our channel looks like after even light rain events. Next slide, please. Now, Orange County Coastkeeper hosts cleanups year round. We host 2 cleanups every month. We're at San Clemente State Beach every first Saturday of the month, and we're at Huntington State Beach every second Saturday. And on those third Saturdays, we've tried to expand our program to include our adopted channel, which is the Santa Ana Delhi channel. And we also host emergency cleanups, specifically after big rain events, and we host corporate cleanups as they're requested. Now, I wanted to mention that we try to make these events as accessible and easy to participate as possible. So we welcome everyone of all ages. We provide all the supplies needed, bags, gloves, trash pickers for anyone who has any back problems. We consolidate all the trash. We make sure all the permits are submitted. We make sure they receive free parking or are able to access free parking. And we grant volunteer hours to all the students coming out. So really, we really try to make it easy so anyone can come out. Next slide, please. Now, on this slide, I attached images that are really representative of our beach cleanups. We're mainly picking up small, weightless pieces of plastic, mainly single-use plastic, such as straws, bottle caps, food and beverage wrappers, cigarette butts, and the most frustrating is the degraded pieces of styrofoam. And I wanted to mention that one of the comments I hear most often at these beach cleanups is, wow, the beach is clean. We're not going to find any trash. But the unfortunate truth is once everyone starts coming back, they may have spent 2 hours picking up tiny pieces of styrofoam from one area, but it really quickly accumulates and we end up with these full bags of plastic trash. Next slide, please. Now, I also wanted to show, can I have you click one more time, please? I don't know why that one came after, but so I wanted to show the our Santa Ana Del High channel cleanups because they look widely different. Our channel is about 5 minutes from our office in Costa Mesa, and our channel is concrete-based. It begins in Santa Ana and comes all the way down into Costa Mesa, and unfortunately, it heads directly into the Upper Newport Bay and eventually the ocean. So the trash we're picking up here is pretty different. It's quite literally the opposite. It's bulky, heavy items. As you see, there's construction materials, there's big plastic bottles, there's like cushion materials, clothing. I see an igloo in the back. And that's the unfortunate truth of what our channel looks like pretty often. We host cleanups. We're trying to host them at least bi-monthly, but this is still what it looks like in between, and especially after big rain events. So I just really wanted to highlight that difference. Next slide, please. Now, through our cleanup program, we've hosted over 77 cleanups this year so far, and we've engaged over 5,600 volunteers. And together with our amazing volunteers and community members, we've removed over 13,200 pounds of trash. Now, I know it's a lot of numbers on this table. I'm happy to share the slides after, but really, I just wanted to highlight that I organized this table from most visited to least visited. I included how many cleanups we've had there, how many total volunteers, what the weight of trash is in pounds, and then the averages at each of those beaches. And then at the bottom, I included the unrounded actual statistics of our cleanup program. And before I move on, I just wanted to mention that as a cleanups coordinator, I'm happy and proud of our achievements, but also disappointed and frustrated that we can visit these sites monthly, bi-weekly, even we can go 2 days later and we're still finding the same magnitudes of trash. And so while we're happy, it's also very frustrating and disheartening that we have this issue. Next slide, please. Now, I've been at the majority of these cleanups and it's hard to imagine what 13,000 plus pounds of trash looks like. So I wanted to compare it to something, you know, we see regularly. So 2023 Toyota Camry weighs 3,310 pounds of trash. And so the trash we picked up this year equates to the weight of four of these cars, which I hope that puts into perspective how much trash this actually is. And it's mainly the small pieces of trash that equates to this many pounds. Next slide, please. Now, as the rainy season approaches, I was contemplating what I wanted to talk about in my last minutes, but I think it's important to show the effect of rain in our adopted channel and our beach and our beaches. So I brought it to examples here, but unfortunately, there's many more. So on November 3rd, we hosted a private cleanup with about 20 corporate team members, and we picked up over 700 pounds of trash, which is all bagged and shown on the upper left-hand corner image. And then 10 days later, we took some check-in photos. We knew we were expecting some rain. And then after the light rain we had on November 15th, the last two photos show what our channels look like after that light rain. And so those before image is representative of what the channel actually looked like. It still looked pristine. You could still tell we did a cleanup recently. And that light rain really just caused all the trash to wash down. And that's what happens every time it rains. And this was only light rain. Now, the second image is a before and after Hurricane Hillary. again, pristine, not much trash. We actually hadn't had a cleanup there in at least two months, and it still looked great. But then after that rain, it was a trash disaster. The entire ramp is full of big, heavy items, and you can't even see the trash barrier, but it looks exactly like the image above does, full of trash piled up. And unfortunately, that's what it looks like, even after a little bit of rain. Next slide, please. Now, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip over this slide, but I just wanted to say that the trend is same with our beach cleanups. Even with light rain, we see all the styrofoam wash up, all the small degraded pieces of plastic, and it's not in the same magnitudes as our channel cleanup. Like I mentioned, our beach cleanups are more of the light, tiny pieces of trash that's almost impossible to all pick up. So we see the same trend, just not in the same magnitude. Next slide, please. Now, I wanted to end with a call to action. I found this amazing chart from NOAA's Marine Debris Program. They studied 31 beaches in Orange County and estimated the savings over a period of 3 months. And they were studying the correlation between reduction in marine debris and economic benefits. And I think the results are really inspiring and powerful. So they estimated that with 25% reduction in marine debris, we would find a $32 million economic benefit. And this is only over a period of 3 months. And I think that, again, that's amazing, but we still have a long way to go. At least from our perspective, we haven't really seen much improvement on our beaches and our adopted channels. So I listed some things that I think would really help us reach those goals, such as promoting positive experiences in nature. I really think that if people are able to see the problem firsthand and we aren't shoving this information in their faces, they'll genuinely care and be aware of these issues. Promote and engage in community cleanups. There's a Coastal Cleanup Day. That's a California-wide cleanup event, which hopefully I can come back and talk about another day. But those are great events to promote. There's always so many great organizations doing cleanups year-round apart from Coastkeeper. Increase street sweeping so that trash isn't making it into our drains and have an opportunity to make it out into the ocean and our waterways. Increasing litter education campaigns like the ones I listed down below. And then increasing trash interception devices. Public Works does a great job helping us with our channel, but unfortunately that one barrier is only on the surface. That's why we're only catching the big items. I've seen firsthand that as soon as we clean all those big items out and it looks beautiful, I'm seeing the stream just pass all the little pieces of styrofoam, all the small plastics, because there's no devices there meant to stop it. And so that's why we're picking up all of it at the end at the beach once it washes up during high tides. So I'll end there in the interest of time. Thank you so much for your time and attention today. I wish you all happy holidays and loving holidays, and thank you again.
Thank you so very much for this presentation and all of that really helpful data, not just for the board, but for members of the public who are listening. And I'd just like to share, I have attended those as a volunteer, the Coastkeeper cleanups in Huntington Beach, and it's really social and fun, and you take a nice walk and spend a couple hours, and it is crazy how much of those microplastics and small pieces of, that's what we're really looking for, is to grab all of those. And there's so much that you really do need a lot of hands on deck. I was very encouraged to see how many students come out to it with classes, et cetera. So anyway, love that Coastkeepers does that, and we'll continue to promote and advocate for you as well.
Thank you. I'm really happy to hear you attend our cleanups.
Okay. Board Member Scandura.
Sure. And then, Madam Chair, thank you very much for that presentation. Certainly, Coastkeeper does remove a tremendous amount of trash. And I know it's frustrating when you come back a couple of days later and you still find trash out there. But believe me, it does make a difference. I do note that they have the second Saturdays in Huntington Beach. Mm-hmm. That happens to be my volunteer day, too, at Shipley Nature Center in Huntington Beach, which specializes in native plant habitats. So if you get a day in Huntington Beach where you have too many volunteers, send them our way.
I sure will. They fill up actually pretty quickly, and we have a cap set, so we do have to sometimes divert volunteers.
Any other board members? Board Member Root?
Yes. First of all, thank you for the very thorough presentation. We appreciate it. A question I have, and it's been an ongoing concern. When you talk about the Santa Ana Delhi Channel, obviously you said the trash is much heavier. It's not quite what you would find at the coast. Is there a way that perhaps Coastkeeper can start to talk to many of the trash haulers, especially the residential ones, and have them emphasize more about what should and should not go in those trash cans? and then perhaps to talk more about bulk pickup, because I know some of the trash haulers limit the bulk pickup, and that's where some of this comes from. People don't know what to do with it, so they just take it and dump it wherever they can. So I'm wondering if that's a conversation that can be had, because that shouldn't be in the Santa Ana Delhi channel.
Exactly. I mean,
mattresses don't belong there.
I love that perspective. I definitely love to try. I'll definitely look into how we can talk to those haulers and maybe increase the limits or increase that education, the education campaigns, so that we're picking up most of that trash and it's not making it into our channel.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then our vice chair, Letitia Clark, would like to say a word too.
I just wanted to comment on the volunteer opportunities that you all provide. My kids who are 16, they often sign up to participate in the cleanups, and it does seem to be a great introduction into just how impactful, you know, their actions and other people's actions in our public spaces and, you know, just parks and everything, how that trash kind of eventually leads down to the ocean if they're not mindful. So I just really appreciate that you guys offer those opportunities for all ages, because learning early, I think, helps to influence practice and what we do as adults. So I know that it's had an impact on my kids, and I just wanted to mention that. Thank you for the presentation.
I'm so happy to hear that. It's our pleasure. If there's no more comments, thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, and thank you again for being here with us today. So now that we've finished our public forum, we have no other speaker cards, Jessica, at this time? Okay. So we'll close item two and move on to item three. It is a report by our State Water Resources Control Board member, Didi Diamo, but she's not able to be with us today, so she did submit her comments in writing for our records, and those are available as part of the agenda packet. Item four is our regional board meeting minutes for the September 22nd board meeting. Please note there was an error in the agenda, and the date should be September 22nd instead of the 28th. Request for a motion and a second, if we don't have any.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion for the minutes as presented.
Thank you.
And I would like to second.
Okay, wonderful. So we have a first and a second by board members Rue and Alvarado. Please, Jessica, call the roll.
Board member Lopez.
Yes, I think legal counsel would suggest that I abstain since I was not present at that meeting. So I will abstain.
Thank you. Board member Escandora.
Yes.
Board member Alvarado.
Yes.
Board member Rue.
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
And Chair Nuri?
Aye. And that item passes. So we'll move on to item five, our proposed board meeting dates for 2024. I cannot believe it's going to be 2024. Are there any comments or proposed changes to the proposed dates at this time?
Madam Chair, at present, the dates appear to be okay. I may have an issue on May 3rd, but if need be, I could do it via Zoom.
Okay, wonderful. Any other questions or comments? Vice Chair Clark, any concerns or questions?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. I'd like to request a motion and a second, please.
I will make a motion for the dates as presented for the 2024 meeting date.
Okay, wonderful. And second?
Second.
Okay. We have a first and a second, a motion and a second. Would you please call the roll, Jessica?
Board Member Lopez?
Aye.
Board Member Escandora?
Aye.
Board Member Alvarado?
Yes.
Board Member Rue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
And Chair Murray?
Aye. Thank you. Now, item six is to appoint a committee to nominate regional board officers for 2024. We'd like to ask for two board members to serve on the committee to nominate a chair and vice chair for the 2024 calendar year. The committee will meet before the February 2nd meeting to select nominees and will present their nominations at that meeting. The board will then elect a chair and a vice chair at our first meeting of the year, which is February 2nd. And I'd like to ask board members for volunteers to serve on this committee. Yes, board member Alvarado.
I would like to volunteer for the committee.
Thank you.
And I would like to volunteer also our newest member. So Bell and Told kind of thing.
Talk about that.
Bell and Told.
Talk about
I like that.
You burn real it's fast. Okay. You don't get a chance to volunteer. They volunteer you.
I will accept.
Thank you.
Thank you both. We appreciate your service for this committee. All right. With that, I don't think we have to vote, do we? We're just accepting. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you both. So now I'll move on to item 7. Item 7 is the consideration of the consent calendar listed as item 8. At this time, I want to ask if there are any parties or board member requests to remove any of the consent items. Jessica, please let us know if there are any speaker cards on this item.
There are no speaker cards.
All right. Do we have any board members who would like to speak to item 8 or their consent calendar? Board member Lopez.
Is my mic on?
Yeah.
I don't have any issue with the entire packet. I did on page, on the second page of the first page, it says Santa Ana Water Board staff are relying on the county of San Bernardino, Riverside County Transportation Mitigation. I was just wondering to avoid the possibility of someone challenging, could we put the date that it was adopted? Would that be appropriate? I would ask legal counsel right there.
Which page? Hey, everybody. This is David Lancaster. I am assisting Lori with this board meeting. And good morning, everyone. Good morning. Mr. Director, may I ask you please repeat that question just one more time so I can find the exact spot in this permit?
Yeah, could you repeat the question, Board Member Lopez?
That's fine. I'm okay with it.
Oh, with no change, or did you want to have
No, I was just curious. I was just curious if you could put a date on it that it was adopted to, so that in the future, if someone was to challenge it, they wouldn't have to look for it. They know directly which one it was.
Could you let us know what page you're talking about and which paragraph?
Oh, please? It's on the very last, the second page of your report.
Page
on the back. Page 2 of 2.
Paragraph 4?
Paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4. Correct.
What's on the staff report?
Are you referring to the staff summary report or the staff report? Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Well, technically the summary report is the summary item for your benefit. It is not actually the board action that would be taken here today. Agenda item 8 would consist of is just the tentative order itself. And so technically the board, you know, it from a legal perspective, and I guess from a legal perspective, agenda item 8 is just the tentative order and not the staff report, which again is just prepared for your benefit. So that way, you know, you can see kind of the bigger picture through the, sometimes these permits can be quite long.
If I could add, within the WDRs, we do have requirements for submittals and completion of the work.
Right.
And so I do believe that we cover the requirement to make sure that the work is done timely and within the WDRs.
That's fine. I'm okay.
All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you for the clarification from
Absolutely.
Our board member and from staff and council. With that, I'll just ask for a motion to approve the consent item.
Madam Chair, I will approve the consent calendar as presented before us.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Wonderful. With that, Jessica, would you please call the roll?
Board Member Lopez?
Aye.
Board Member Scandora?
Aye.
Board Member Alvarado?
Aye.
Board Member Ruth?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
And Chair Nuri?
Aye. Thank you so much. The item passes. Now we'll move on to item 9. It is a public hearing for our water board to consider the adoption of waste discharge requirements and master recycling permit that authorizes the production and distribution of tertiary treated and disinfected recycled water for indirect potable and non-potable use within the Bunker Hill B groundwater management zone from the East Valley Water District's Sterling Natural Resource Center. I'd like to begin by asking Dr. Nick Amini to give the presentation on this item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, board members. Chair Mori, my name is Nick Amini. I'm the branch manager for Surface Water and Agriculture. The wastewater section in our branch is a major program that oversees the implementation of waste discharge requirements for the recycled water projects in our region. Today, on behalf of my colleague, Julio Lara, who is the supervisor of the wastewater program and the main author of this master recycling permit, I will be providing a summary of the waste discharge requirement that we have established for the East Valley Water District's Sterling facility. Next. We will start with an overview of East Valley Water District and the proposed facility. We'll discuss the waste discharge requirement that we have established for the facility and the rationale behind them. And then we talk about any comments that we have received through the 30-day public commenting period. And finally, we'll make a recommendation for the adoption of the waste discharge requirement. Next. East Valley Water District is located in the northeastern portion of our region. It services mostly the city of Highlands and unincorporated areas of San Bernardino County. East Valley is proposing to reuse the recycled water that is generated by the Sterling facility for replenishment of groundwater in the Bunker Hill B groundwater management zone. We'll come back to the concept of groundwater management zone in a couple of slides later. Next. There are three main parts to what is being proposed. The main one is the wastewater collection trunk lines that has been going on for a while. They have over 200 miles of wastewater collection pipelines, and that will gravity feed to the new Sterling facility, which has up to 8 million gallons per day of treatment facility, and it can be expanded to 10 million gallons per day if necessary. The effluent from this Sterling facility will be tertiary treated and disinfected and then transported via pipeline to the Weaver Basins, which is located in the city of Highlands, for infiltration and percolation into the subsurface. Next. Here's a plan view of the area that this facility is located to give you a bearings. We are at the north side of the Freeway 10, and Freeway 210 crosses in the middle of this figure. On the west side, you see the location of a Sterling facility is in the city of San Bernardino, I believe on Del Rosa Drive, and then a pipeline 5 miles long, which shown here with the purple line, crosses all the way to the city of Highland, where the Weaver Basins are located at the intersection of Weaver Street and Green Spot Road. Next slide. This is a collaborative process between the San Bernardino Valley Water District and East Valley. San Bernardino Valley is a major importer of a state water project, a wholesaler. They also have water rights for extraction and injection into the groundwater. The process was initially started by San Bernardino Valley in 2016 after East Valley completed the requirements and approved the certification. They took over the responsibility in 2018. Next. This is a map of our region that shows the main water wholesalers. There's five of them, and the East Valley Water District on the northeastern side is presented with the olive green. It incorporates cities of it services cities of Highland, Redlands, and San Bernardino. Now, if we zoom in, next. The layout here is shown with the red line for the San Bernardino Valley service area, and the East Valley service area is with the blue lines within San Bernardino Valley service area. Now, on the western end of East Valley service area, you see the proposed location for the Sterling facility. And I need to mention that at this time, Sterling facility is not operational. Therefore, all the wastewater that's collected by East Valley is sent to the Chandler's facility, which belongs to the city of San Bernardino. It's secondary treated in that facility. It's about 6 million gallons per day. And that water is then sent into the Ricks facility, which is shown with the red star here in the city of Colton. Ricks stands for rapid injection and extraction. About 23 million gallons of water per day is injected into the subsurface. This water travels into the subsurface through the formation, and in the downgraded area is extracted using extraction wells. And the process of migration through this aquifer or formation is credited as a tertiary treatment. The reason is that only waters that are tertiary treated are allowed to be discharged into Santa Ana River. So the water that is extracted, tertiary treated, and then disinfected and discharged into Santa Ana River. Next. Here's a zoom in of the service area for East Valley Water District. I believe the purple shaded area is the city of Redlands, and then you see the adjacent areas for San Bernardino County unincorporated areas. Sterling facility is shown with the red circle to the northwest of San Bernardino Airport, and the Weaver Basin in the central portion of the figure in the city of Highland with the blue circle. Next. This is a site plan of the Weaver Basins. There are five basins. The smallest one is basin one, just over 500 feet long, and the largest one is basin five, over 1,000 feet long. Together, they have about 21.4 acres of surface area and can take up to 48.9 million gallons of water per day. Next. This is a schematic process flow diagram for the Sterling facility. All the wastewater that is collected comes as an influent to the headworks of the treatment system, where large debris and trash is removed. Then it goes through a stage of finer screens where smaller pieces of trash are removed. And then the water is sent to the equalization basin, where the solid settles at the bottom of these large equalization basins. And the water, the clear water, overflows to the next stage, which is called a membrane bioreactor. Biological activities remove or break down parts of the organic contents of these existing material in the water. Then it goes through the microfiltration process after that. And at that stage is considered as tertiary treated. That tertiary treated water is then disinfected, and using the 5 mile long pipeline and the pumps that exist at the facility is going to be transported into the Weaver basins for infiltration. Now, the solid content of the material that's removed from the water is thickened to some extent. The water is removed and it goes into digesters. These are anaerobic digesters where additional biological activities will break down the organic compounds, and methane gas is going to be generated, which will be collected from the top of these digesters in large reservoirs at the site. The digested sludge is going to be dewatered again using filter presses, and then the generated biosolid is going to be shipped off-site for surface application, land application or disposal. Next. This is a video that East Valley has put together from YouTube that shows the final stages of construction. Basically, all the large equipment have been installed at this stage, and they are, I believe, doing electrical installation or instrumentation at some point. So the large conical shape, the large tanks with conical roof, these are the anaerobic digesters. The methane gas that's generated is collected in the large white sphere that you see behind the digesters, and that can be used for heating purposes or other cogeneration. Then you have the air scrubbers. Those are three towers with the pipe coming out from the top that remove their air scrubbers. They removed the foul odor and other gases that should not be discharged to atmosphere. And to the right, or upper right corner, you see the aeration basins. These are large basins where the solids are settling and the air is mixed with the water. And I believe the tanks, the darker color tanks to the south, are the feed storage. Okay. This is where methane is collected, and this is an aerial of the aeration basins. Now, across the street, an administrative building has been constructed by East Valley Water District for the service to the community. And these, there are two ornamental ponds next to this administrative building. And these are non-potable water that is generated by the Sterling facility that is gathered into this ponds for the enjoyment of the local community and public. This facility main product is for indirect potable reuse. A small portion of it is for non-potable reuse that goes to those ponds, but we'll talk about the indirect potable reuse further in a couple of slides. And this shows the final stages of construction. I believe this is the instrumentation and electrical phased installation. Next. This is a map of our region. We talked about groundwater management zones earlier. This map shows all the groundwater management zones that we have within our region. Bunker Hill B, which East Valley is located, is shown with the darker purple color to the north side, just south of San Bernardino Mountains. Under each name of these GMZs, you see two numbers. The upper number, 330 for Bunker Hill, is the water quality objective for total dissolved solids. The lower number is the water quality objectives for nitrate. These are the two numbers that are goals for these two constituents within that particular groundwater management zone. It's a certain formation with certain geochemical characteristics of water, and these numbers are calculated according to those geochemical characteristics. Next. The water quality objective, 330 milligrams per liter for TDS, comes from our basin plan. Our basin plan has these numbers for every groundwater management zone in our region, but the actual quality of TDS in the groundwater management zone is lower, it's 280, and that's called ambient water quality. The difference between ambient water quality and water quality objective is a concept called assimilative capacity. Assimilative capacity is the amount of TDS or any other constituent that a GMZ can take without any threat to the beneficial uses of water within that GMC. Based on that assimilative capacity, an effluent limit for TDS has been calculated for this Sterling facility, which is 545 milligrams per liter. Now, East Valley Water District is not the only one that's discharging to this GMZ. Cities of San Bernardino, Redlands also do that. So they are cooperating with each other in a coalition to make sure that the combination of their discharges does not affect the TDS in this GMZ adversely. Next. So the recycled water policy allows us to assign 20% of the assimilative capacity for the increase in the TDS concentration here. And this is part of the anti-degradation policy that we strive to meet the requirements. Another requirement for anti-degradation policy is the application of best practicable treatment or control measures by the discharges to ensure the highest quality of water that can be discharged from the facility. Next. This is another map of the groundwater management zone, particularly the ones just south of San Bernardino Mountains. Bunker Hill B is shown with purple color here, but the concentrations that you see on the map are the ambient water quality. These are the actual concentration that has been calculated for the past 20, 30, or 40 years within that groundwater management zone. So we have 280 milligrams per liter for TDS and 5.8 milligrams per liter for nitrate. Next. If we subtract the water quality objective for this groundwater management zone from the ambient water quality, which is the actual concentration, we have 50 milligrams per liter. As I mentioned, the 20% of this assimilative capacity, which is 10 milligrams per liter, is the allowment for the increase in TDS concentration within this groundwater management zone from the discharges of recycled water by different discharges. A coalition has been made by San Bernardino Valley, cities of San Bernardino, Redlands, and the East Valley to work together to ensure that the discharges from their facilities to this groundwater management zone does not go beyond this allowed 10 milligrams per liter over the next 20 years. Next. You saw this map before. The only difference here is that it also shows the infiltration basin for the city of Redlands, where the discharges from their wastewater treatment plant goes, and the proposed Plunge Creek Basin, which can be added to the proposed system in the future. And these are all around the freeway 210. Next. So the coalition member have come to an agreement and signed a memorandum of understanding. This is a commitment on their side to implement mitigation measures to make sure that they are not going to go above that 20% assimilative capacity that has been allowed by this master recycling permit. Should they fail to meet these requirements, they are required to implement additional measures to reduce the excess TDS that has been loaded in excess of the water quality objectives, basically offset that amount. This order has timeline for the implementation of these mitigation measures. Next. This is another aerial view. So we have 215 to the west, 10 to the south. And these are the four facilities that will be operating in this groundwater management zone. From west to east, we have the Chandler's facility for the city of San Bernardino. This is where they are currently sending their wastewater and being treated, secondary treated. Second one to the is the Sterling facility itself, northwest of the San Bernardino Airport. You can see the runways for San Bernardino Airport in the center of the figure. Third one is the City of Redlands wastewater treatment facility to the southeast of San Bernardino Airport. And finally, to the east of 210 is the Weaver Basins in the City of Redlands. Next. Now, we mentioned that the majority of water generated by the Sterling facility is going to be indirect potable reuse. What is indirect potable reuse? Basically, the wastewater that's generated by sources, in this case, mostly residential and commercial, goes through wastewater treatment and then through advanced treatment. And after it's disinfected, that water is sent into a buffer. This buffer is shown on the lower left of the picture. It can be a surface reservoir or it can be a subsurface aquifer. The water then travels in the aquifer or remains in the surface reservoir and extracted from down gradient and then sent to a drinking water treatment facility for further treatment and distribution to the users. This concept of buffer doesn't exist in a direct potable reuse. So what is generated from the advanced treatment is going to go directly to a drinking water treatment facility and distribute it to the community. So that's the difference between indirect and direct potable reuse. As we mentioned, a small portion of the water generated goes for non-potable reuse. Next. And this is a cycle for non-potable reuse. So the water that's generated for non-potable can be used in residential or commercial facilities for toilet flushing, for example, the purple line, as opposed to the blue line that transports drinking water. It can be used in industrial facility for the cooling system and cooling tower, or it can be used for irrigation. Next. You saw this before. This is a nicer aerial view of the administration building and the two ornamental ponds right across the street from Sterling facility, which uses the non-potable portion of water that's generated by the Sterling facility for public benefit. Next. Now, DDW plays a crucial role in review and approval of documentations for this recycled water projects. They operate under Title 22 of the California Code of Regulation, and they review what's known as Title 22 Engineering Report. This is a very comprehensive report that has information on all aspects of a proposed recycled water facility. Now, what was submitted by East Valley Water District was reviewed over a few months by DDW staff, and a conditional acceptance letter was issued. This conditional acceptance letter is issued to the regional board. The original version was issued on August 1st, and then there was a revision on October 13th, where they added more requirements regarding well control zones. And we'll talk about well control zone concept in a second. On the left, you see the actual letter that was issued to our executive officer and has a series of recommendations. We took those recommendations and incorporated it in this permit as a requirement. They can be found in attachment D. We also incorporated some of these recommendations in our monitoring and reporting requirements in attachment E of our order. Next. We mentioned the assimilative capacity and anti-degradation requirements for TDS in this water management zone. Nitrate has a similar thing. The water quality objective is 7.3 milligrams per liter, but the actual water quality is 5.8. So that's the ambient water quality. And the difference would be the assimilative capacity for nitrate. All the compounds that have been listed in different tables that you find, table 5 through 10, I believe, in this order, need to be monitored. These mostly have primary and secondary MCLs, or they have notification levels to make sure that the beneficial uses of for drinking water and municipal is protected in this groundwater management zone. Some of the more important ones that parameters that need to be monitored are total organic carbon, effluent turbidity, with which the pathogen content of this recycled water has direct relationship, and percent recycled water contribution. Percent recycled water contribution is that portion of the recycled water that infiltrates into the subsurface and mixes with the natural groundwater and travels down gradient and then can be extracted for drinking water purposes. I believe for this project is 5% for the recycled water. Next. This is a map that shows the Weaver basins, and the blue hashtag area is the downgradient area known as well control zone. We mentioned this concept. Well control zone is the area downgradient of these basins that no drinking water wells will be allowed to operate or new well will be allowed to install. And the reason is that there is,
sorry, didn't want to interrupt, but so no new wells, correct?
Right. Okay. No new drinking water wells.
Right, yes. Right.
The reason is that when the recycled water mixes with the natural groundwater, it takes a few months to completely mix. I think it's projected to be about 7.5 months travel to cover this area that's called well control zone, also known as primary boundary. Now, in the area outside of this primary boundary, you can install drinking waters and operate the existing drinking water wells provided that tracer studies or surrogate studies are done to make sure that, the pathogen level in these waters have been reduced to what is required. Next. This is a map further zoomed out. It shows the primary boundaries in the orange color, just down gradient of the Weaver Basin. But it also depicts some regional contaminant plume that we have in that area. I believe the purple hashed area to the southwest of the primary boundary is the Lockheed Redlands perchlorate plume, which is several miles long. So that gives you an idea about the dimensions of the regional plumes that we have and the primary boundary that's being protected for drinking water. Next. This is a schematic cross-section for the Weaver Basin. It's shown on the upper right part in a purple color. The water that infiltrates into the subsurface goes through multiple water-bearing zones, some of them less permeable than the others, and then travel down gradient. Everything travels toward the ocean. So the brown color that you see is for the mixture of recycled water and groundwater, but you see different level of progress within different water-bearing zones, which depends on the hydraulic conductivity and permeability of those particular layers of soil. In the down gradient area, monitoring wells will be installed to measure different constituents, maybe for tracer studies or different surrogates, to make sure that the pathogen levels that is coming out and further outside of the primary boundary area are below or at the levels that have been required in this permit. Next. So we talked about pathogen levels. The three most important one, enteric virus, Giardia cyst, Cryptosporidium. And these are measured with the concept known as log reduction value, or LRV. This concept is basically the orders of magnitude that these microorganisms are removed. And so for enteric virus, which is the most strict one, is 12 orders of magnitude removal has to happen before that water can be extracted for drinking water purposes. And I believe for every month of travel beyond the primary boundary, one order of magnitude is credited for the removal of these pathogens. East Valley Water District has to implement other control programs. One of the control programs is cross-connection control, which basically means that when they have blue drinking water lines running through their facility with the purple lines for recycled water, there must be complete separation, no cross-connection. Some facilities install backflow preventers for that purpose to make sure that the recycled water doesn't end up in drinking water lines. There's also operation optimization plan. In order to meet the requirements and comply with our requirement, continuous optimization of the treatment system has to happen, and that is done through the operation optimization plan. One of the more important programs is the pretreatment program. This is a program that East Valley Water District enforces for its for these sources of discharge within the service area, mostly commercial and residential within the service area. The reason is that from any of these sources, a constituent can come through that may go directly through this treatment process without being removed. That's called a pass-through. Or a constituent comes through that disturb the processes that are actually happening within the treatment system and causes a peak that results in exceedance beyond the compliance points. So these pretreatment programs, cross-connection programs, and other plans are typically enforced when we do audits and inspection on these facilities. Next. There's also a plan for monitoring and reporting constituent on emergent concerns like PFAS. Then another program is asset management. So as the facility ages, the equipment won't be able to operate within the required parameters, and they may result in exceedances of concentrations that are being discharged. So they have to be replaced every once in a while. And that's through rehabilitation and replacement plan. And there's also a maintenance plan. Same with the climate change action plan. As the climate is getting harder, we will end up with more floods and fires that may disturb the operation of the plant and result in exceedances. And the discharger has to have a certain plan to deal with those cases of emergency. Next. In summary, East Valley Water District is proposing to operate the Sterling facility and send the recycled water that's generated to Bunker Hill B for groundwater replenishment. The three main components are the wastewater collection system, the Sterling treatment facility, the pipeline for transport of the effluent to the Weaver infiltration basins. It can operate at 8 million gallons per day. It will generate tertiary treated water that will be disinfected and will be used mostly for indirect potable reuse at the infiltration basins. The water quality objective, which is very critical, is for TDS at 330. But because of the ambient water quality of 280, we have some assimilative capacity, and we allow them to use 20% of this assimilative capacity for potential increase in the next 20 years. For that purpose, San Bernardino Valley, East Valley, and cities of San Bernardino and Redlands have got together in a coalition to commit to make sure that mitigation measures are going to be implemented to meet our requirements. Next. We had a 30-day commenting period that just ended on November 27, last Monday. We did not receive any substantive questions or comments on the requirements that we are proposing, but we received three letters of support from City of San Bernardino, San Bernardino Valley, and City of Redlands. Next. And finally, we recommend the adoption of this waste discharge requirement and master recycling permit for the East Valley Water District's Sterling facility. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Very thorough presentation, really helps to underscore the value of the project. So thank you so very much. With that, I do believe we have two speakers with us today. Jessica, did you want to introduce them?
No questions for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll open first for some questions from the board. Director Scandura.
Sure. Well, thank you, Nick, for the presentation. So just so I understand, currently within the service area of East Valley Water District, all the wastewater that's generated goes to a waste treatment plant in San Bernardino. And then once it's treated, it goes to the RIX or Chandler facility where it's discharged. Once the Sterling facility is online and operational and sending its wastewater to the Weaver basins, is any of that wastewater going to even go through the RIX facility? Or is it?
I don't believe so. Currently, they're generating or collecting 6 million gallons per day. And Sterling facility has a capacity up to 8 million gallons per day. So it should be able to take care of everything that they collect.
Okay. The reason I asked that question is because currently there's the issue of, because the RIX facility discharges into the Santa Ana River, and there's the need for a habitat monitoring plan for the Santa Ana sucker. But whether this plan is in place or not, it's really not going to impact the operations of the Sterling plant then, correct?
I don't believe it's going to impact right away.
Okay. Jim. And then...
No, not all right.
Well, also mentioned in the staff report, and this is one of the EIR mitigation measures, is that a habitat conservation plan needs to be in place, as well as a habitat mitigation and monitoring plan. And right now, do we have a status on where we're at on that?
I believe California Department of Fish and Wildlife just approved those plans.
We did ask for that information from East Valley. I think Michael Moore is going to be speaking as well, but the approval for those plans is within days. It'll be in December. We'll give it till December, but it could actually be like next week.
Okay. So assuming the two agencies approve it, then we're not going to see a problem with any kind of delays in the construction or operation of the Sterling facility because of these plans then.
I think the start of the operation is targeted for January, so hopefully by then everything should be approved.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Scandura. Any other questions from the board? Vice Chair Clark, do you have any for Dr. Bermini at this time?
No. I do not. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no further. Oh, no further. I thought I had to do that right at the end. Well, I'll just mention that we also have an errata sheet to this. It was mostly for clarifying purposes, and that is in the agenda packet for everyone's review. With that, Jessica, would you please introduce our two speakers who are with us on this item? Thank you, Dr. Amini. We appreciate your assistance.
Before you do that, Jessica, there should be copies of the errata sheet in the back. If there aren't enough copies, if anyone needs one, you can come up. I can give you one.
Okay, we have two speakers, Michael Moore and Phil Goodrich.
I am the latter one. Madam Chair and members of the board in the audience, as mentioned, well, maybe not mentioned, it was mentioned, but my name is Phil Goodrich, and currently I'm serving as the chairman of the Board of Directors at East Valley Water District. Dr. Nick, very amazing presentation. Thanks very much for that, by the way. And I may run over some of the stuff you did. But I'm here today in my capacity as the board chairman and as a citizen to speak in favor of today's item 9, that being the issuance of the wastewater discharge and master recycling permit for East Valley Water District's Sterling Natural Resource Center. For those that may not know much about the East Valley Water District, real quickly, we were first formed in 1954. And as mentioned, again, we provide both water and wastewater services to the entire city of Highland and about a third of the city of San Bernardino. Now, whether or not you were in our service area or pretty much anywhere in the state of California, I'm sure that you're keenly aware that we have had some major drought situations in our state. And depending on who you talk to, the numbers vary. But they seem to land on or about 8 of the last 11 years, the state has been in some sort of severe drought. Unfortunately, last year's wet weather event seem to melt that out of some people's memories. But unfortunately, it's those memories that keep us pushing forward to find new sources of clean, reliable water. And it's that process and that began the inception of developing Sterling Natural Resource Center. Now, Sterling is a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment plant, and it utilizes every bit of the latest and greatest technology for cleaning water. Fully functional, it should produce somewhere between 8 to 10 million gallons of water for groundwater recharge every single day. At a recent Association of California Waters Association conference, many of the state level panelists that were discussing the governor's approach to California's water issues, we kept hearing pretty much the same three terms over and over again, almost like a mantra, and that was those terms are recycle, build new infrastructure, and find ways to put water in the ground. Sterling Natural Resources checks all those boxes, and we're kind of proud of that. Several million people in various counties and cities depend on this watershed. And that's another reason why the overall sustainability of the Bunker Hill Basin is of genuine concern to us all. And it should be, because the portfolio of the water that we provide to our customers consists of about 80% groundwater. And I'm sure that our surrounding agencies are somewhere around that same number. So any chance we get It makes incredible sense to recharge the basin with every available source. So listen, we're very proud of the Sterling Natural Resource Project. Our community is very proud of the Sterling Natural Resource Project. And while it's been an extremely bold undertaking, we know that the job was done properly and held to very, very high standards. The other thing we know is that it'll prove to be a tremendous asset to this entire region for many years to come. So I want to thank you so much for your time, your consideration, and your hopeful approval of this item. And before leaving, congratulations to all the new appointees. So thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Chairman Goodrich. We appreciate your time on behalf of your agency today. And now, Mr. Moore, if you could please come forward.
Thank you, Chairwoman, members of the board. My name is Michael Moore. I'm the general manager of East Valley Water District. And first, I'd like to thank staff from the regional board for their tireless efforts over the past 5 years working with us on getting to this point, planning, designing, and constructing the treatment plan. Also like to thank the Division of Drinking Water that I believe is online for working with us also over the past 5 years on this important project. As you guys know, the Santa Ana River, the runoff, is the primary supply of water to our region, including East Valley Water District. And those infrequent runoffs have caused problems with our groundwater supply that we've relied on for the past 70 years. And with that, we've supplemented, as many agencies in the basin have, with imported water, which also has its issues and infrequency that we have to deal with. Recycling water and putting the groundwater basin is that solution. And our groundwater basin, the Bunker Hill basins, are at historic low levels, lowest they've ever been since we've been monitoring them for 100 years, as well as many other groundwater basins in the Santa Ana River Basin. And this project will provide 8 million gallons a day of new water into our basin every day, every year, drought or no drought, that will help improve that. And it's much needed. And it will allow us to be much more sustainable, not just in East Valley Water District, but throughout the San Bernardino Basin. And by capturing that water, recycling it, reusing it in the very top part of the Santa Ana River watershed, where we are, we're the first water retailer as the water comes down the mountain, we're able to capture that water, reuse it. It will be then reused by agencies all the way down the river till we get down to Orange County Water District in Huntington Beach, that we'll be doing the same thing. So it allows us to reuse that water more often and be sustainable more as a region. As Chairman Goodrich mentioned, this is a new treatment plan, and it was a big lift for us, but also for the regional board, Division of Drinking Water, to plant a new greenfield, brand new water recycling plant from the ground up. Hasn't been done in this basin for, I believe, a couple decades, to a brand new facility. But with that, it gave us the opportunity to use state-of-the-art technology and to encompass a whole bunch of new technology that we've seen into one plant. And this is the first plant in California that has brought all these new technologies together. The advanced water treatment plants using membrane bioreactors, the odor control systems, the anaerobic digestion, and then lastly, the cogeneration of power. So we're going to be taking the solid waste from our treatment plant, supplementing that with food waste to digest it, create gas that will then use cogeneration and create electricity. And our plant, once we get both those up and operating, will be a net zero energy plant. And that includes not just our treatment processes or our control facilities, but also those pumps that pump that water 5 miles to the Weaver basins. But this project's much more than just a treatment plant. One of the items you guys are talking about is that racial equity. And our treatment plant is in a very disadvantaged community part of our system. It has to be because we had to put it in the lowest elevation. So with that, we did a lot of outreach starting over 5 years ago to reach out to the community and find out what do they want, what do they need, and what would they like to see as we plan this treatment plant there. The community said we need safe parks. We need places to take our kids, a community center that we can have events and weddings and dances at. We want to be able to be proud and of our community And we don't have that. There's no parks, no community benefits, no community facilities in this part of the city. We also reached out to the high school that's right directly across the street from us, realizing the impacts this treatment plant would have on them, and asked them what they wanted. And they wanted a safe place for their kids to go after school, to hang out, to wait to, before they got picked up so they could be safe. They also wanted meeting spaces, and they also wanted a career pathway program so that the kids that maybe don't want to go to college can find their way into the water wastewater industry. So we've created all that. You have that in your packet, but this is the administrative, the community facility that we have. You saw the picture that was up there with the lakes. We put this online over a year ago, and the impact on the community is very impressive. The high school, the community members around there all use this park site every day, particularly in the evenings. Weekends, it's open, safe. We have security guards there. Again, this is a very disadvantaged part of San Bernardino that we provide this benefit for. You see the background is the treatment plant itself. That's the proposed treatment plant that we're talking about. And over here on the left is where the high school is. So fully functional, this here is already up and running, providing a benefit to the community. Aside from the neighbors around us, we realize that recycling water is a benefit to the whole region. And we brought in the city of Redlands, city of San Bernardino, San Bernardino Valley Water District as partners. This project, particularly the pipeline and those Weaver basins that you see how large they are, will not just serve our project, but will also serve the recycled water projects that will be hopefully coming before you in the future years from the city of Redlands, from the city of San Bernardino, that will also deliver additional recycled water to the Weaver basins through this pipeline and recycled water also. The construction is nearly complete, and we will soon be bringing this plant online very soon. And we will definitely let the board know when that date is and have you guys out there for that. And we ask that you approve our master recycling permit that's before you tonight. And if you guys have any questions, I'm here to answer.
Thank you so much. I'd like to open it up to my fellow board members first. I'll ask online, Vice Chair Clark, do you have any questions at this time for Mr. Moore, Mr. Goodrich?
No questions, just to appreciate their comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
From the dais, anyone on the dais?
No question. Thank you. No question, but really highlighting something that you said. Not only the recycle of the water, but then the continuous and the service that it will provide to the entire region. That's very important to me. And also, when you mentioned the racial equity, immediately I thought, and I saw this amazing picture, and it's just one of the models that we can follow throughout the district so that we can continue servicing our communities. Thank you for mentioning that.
Thank you. Thank you for a very thorough presentation. I too appreciate what you're doing. We need more sources of water. We need to be able to ensure that in another drought, well, to me, we're still in the drought, but another major drought, that we're able to continue to deliver on our promises to the region. I also appreciate the fact that this Sterling Park will be in a disadvantaged community. Quite often, these are the communities where it's been overlooked. There's been a lot of problems in some of them. We can go throughout Southern California in general and see that many of our more disadvantaged communities have had disproportionate problems with water. And so this is a great resource. It will, and the education component alone is very worthy of praise. I appreciate anything with recycled water. About 6 weeks ago, I attended the opening of Metropolitan Water District's Carson recycling plant, now the Grace Napolitano recycling plant. And I was very impressed with what I saw. More recycled water means that we have a resource that we're continuing to use out into the future. And I don't think we can have enough recycling facilities. So thank you very much for your efforts.
Board Member Rue, did you want to speak? Oh, I just saw you put your mic on, so I was going to ask. Or Board Member Lopez? Oh, Scandura, sorry. I'm looking right at you and saying, my apologies. Board Member Scandura.
Okay, no problem at all. Well, thank you very much for the presentation. And I will be supporting the motion for this plant. It's certainly a very worthy project for the reasons that have been mentioned by my fellow board members. One thing I do note is that that at the current time, there's plenty of assimilative capacity in the Bunker Hill B groundwater basin for TDS. But it's possible in the next 10 to 20 years, this discharger, along with the two other agencies, could discharge enough TDS into that aquifer to get very close to the water quality objectives for that aquifer. And so what we have in our in these WDRs is a requirement for the development of a TDS management plan. And that would be on the part of East Valley Water District, and then also two other agencies. I strongly urge focus and concentration on developing that plan. We have very strict timelines in there, so I do ask that you adhere to those timelines. Part of the problem we have here is that through these WDRs, we only have control over East Valley Water District. We don't have control over the other two agencies, so it's really going to depend on bringing those coalition partners together and getting them to develop a management plan for this. And so I do urge that occur, but otherwise I will be supporting the motion on this project.
Thank you. I'd like to commend the staff for coming up with this avenue for us to address the assimilative capacity when there's only one applicant of three before you right now, and their flexibility. Those other two partners, City of Redlands, City of San Bernardino, as well as us, are all committed to working together to find that solution on salt before we use up the assimilative capacity. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Board Member Lopez.
First of all, I'd like to thank staff, for that. That's that very comprehensive report and presentation. It's like, you don't need to think about it. You see it, and you did it very well. Very well. I commend you on that. I also, I think the cooperation of the agencies, I think to me that's something that is great. To make things happen nowadays, you have to, co-op, to make these projects a reality. And I think that this is going to be a great project for the entire area. So I commend you on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Want to say one more thing? Yeah.
No, Madam Chair, if there are no other questions, I'd like to make a motion for the item as presented today.
Thank you. And with the errata included, the clarification of the errata.
Yes, with the errata included. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Before I call the vote, I'd just like to say one quick comment, and that is, one, I do want to acknowledge our staff, Dr. Meany and your team, Dr. Laura, and the East Valley District, your team, and all the coalition partners who are working to make sure these model projects are developed in our region. I'm very proud as a member of this board and a resident of our region how much recycling projects and infrastructure has been developed. I do think we're setting the bar very high, but also creating the quality that others can follow. It does create a roadmap that helps all regions. So thank you. I particularly want to call out how much I value the community benefit aspects of this project, really going above and beyond to make sure the community felt involved and included in and addressing and direct concerns, not just assuming on their behalf, and also the workforce pathways. Our students need to know there are many quality careers out there that don't necessarily require a college degree. And so the fact that you implemented that, I think, is just extraordinary. So thank you. I'm also supportive of this item, and I'm happy to call the roll. Jessica, would you please? Oh, do I need to do anything else? I thought we had a second. Yeah.
Yeah, I second. Board Member Scandura. With the errata, which actually was my request. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. We have a motion and a second. Jessica, would you please call the roll?
Board Member Lopez.
Aye.
Board Member Scandura.
Aye.
Board Member Alvarado.
Aye.
Board Member Rue.
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark.
Aye.
And Chair Nuri.
Aye. And the motion passes unanimously. The applause was for all of you and the work that you've done, but thank you. And our staff, of course. Yes. With that, we'll, item 10, I'll just acknowledge again, has been postponed and will be scheduled for another date. And with that, I'd like to move to item 11 and turn it over to our executive officer, Jane Joy, to present her report.
Okay. It's very short, a report. I just have a couple items. I just want to acknowledge the Water Quality Coordination Committee meeting that was on the 24th or the 23rd and 24th of October. All board members were present. It was a really great event. We were able to learn a little bit about the beneficial uses for tribes. We talked about the Sackett versus the EPA decision on the waters of the U.S. and the challenges that are associated with that. And then we also received a one-year report on the water supply strategy and regional board updates. And I just want to just state with the water supply strategies, our region is doing well with our portion of that, along with these types of projects that we just approved. And then lastly, I just a quick update on our racial equity resolution. We are about 90% complete with the resolution, getting ready to put that out. And hopefully come the first part of the year, we'll start to be able to go out and put it out for public comment. So it's coming along.
It's wonderful.
Taking this time, but it's coming along.
Well, we want it done well and right. So thank you.
Thank you.
With that, I'll turn it over to the board for board member comments. Item 12. Board member Scandura.
Sure. Well, I'd like to also congratulate my three fellow board members for their reconfirmation, and hopefully my reconfirmation in 2 years goes as smoothly as yours did. And congratulations to Board Member Lopez for your appointment. One thing I note, in addition to a very impressive background in water quality and water supply, you're also a member. You're also from the Inland Empire. Our board is a very diverse board, as you can see, except for one thing, and that is geographic representation. And most of our members are from Orange County, yet half the population is from the Inland Empire. So I really appreciate the governor appointing another person to the from the Inland Empire to our board. Take some of the burden off of Board Member Rue. And certainly because we're all from Orange County and we tend to be Orange County centric, please do keep us, you know, informed of and sensitive to the issues and concerns of the Inland Empire, because that's very important for us. And as mentioned by one of the speakers, the water from the Santa Ana River starts in the Inland Empire, and so it's very important for us. So thank you and welcome aboard.
Thank you. Any other board member comment? I'll turn it over to Board Member Root.
I would just wanted to mention that the Riverside County Task Force is going to be sponsoring an update trip to the Diamond Lake, and I had submitted my name to participate prior to the appointment. I put it down as Al Lopez, community member. And now I want to ask legal counsel. I mean, I'm certain they're going to run into folks that I've known before. In my introduction, can I use my title of this board, or should I remain Al Lopez, community member?
We can talk about that offline, but certainly your appointment to this board wouldn't prevent you from serving on that task force.
Yeah. Thank you. That's all. Thank you. And I appreciate being on the board. I think it's exciting for me. It's another phase of my public involvement, community involvement. I started in 1974. You know, that's pretty close to 50 years of community involvement, and it's been an exciting period during my lifetime, and I probably will do it again if I get another 50 years, you know, but I want to thank everyone that is here today, and this, certainly the staff, and for the meeting that we met prior to get a little acquainted. So I appreciate it, and I look forward to the participation on this board.
Thank you. Board Member Alvarado?
I just wanted to say thank you. Welcome. And congratulations to all. I know it's repetitive, but I am very excited to continue working and learning. I want to really appreciate all the work that the staff does to keep us informed. And these well-produced presentations are amazing. There's always something to learn, and I am very grateful to have you all and for the work that you do. And for the public, I just want to remind everybody, we are not out of a drought. We still have to conserve water. Water is life, and it's going to take all of us working together. Yes, we're working and coming with this amazing plans for the future, but we have to do our part as well. So I just want to encourage everyone to think about that. And also, happy holidays to everyone, and please be safe. Thank you.
Yeah. Board Member Rue?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Congratulations to our newest director, Director Lopez. I look forward to working with you. I found out already we have some mutual friends in common. Your long history in water will certainly serve us well. It is always great when you have somebody on the board who's actually sat on a water district. I began my trajectory in the water industry when I was about 25 years old, and I was elected to the Monte Vista Water District. And it's been a great, great journey because, as Director Alvarado mentioned about how important water is, it truly is. It is the lifeblood of this state. And without it, we are not going to be the fourth largest economy in the world. I also want to thank staff for a great year, your hard work, your effort. You have taken, I was not a science or chemistry major. I was a public policy guy, and you have taken all this science and chemistry and made a humble person like me be able to understand it. So I appreciate it. To our executive officer, thank you for a great team. To the public, many of you show up consistently. We appreciate your input. Without public input, we cannot make good decisions. To everyone here, this is a special time of year. It's a time for family, friends. It's a time to reflect back on a year. It's time to look forward with happiness. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, any combination thereof, whatever faith and whatever tradition you have, the one thing I've noticed is candles are a big part of that. And may you always remember to light a candle for your friends in the past, the present, and those you will have in the future. Light one for your family, all those you love, and just be safe this season. It's not about gifts. It's not about money. It's all about one-on-one with those you love and care about. Our friendships, our family are so precious. And I know from personal experience this year, they can be gone in a second. So just treasure everyone you have this time of year. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Rue. Very well said. Vice Chair Clark?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Per usual, it's hard to follow Board Member Rue because he's always inspirational. But along that theme, I'm consistently inspired not only by my colleagues on the board, but the staff, the community members that attend. Everyone is just very committed to making our world better. And in this venue, we have an influence on our water quality, and I feel like what we're doing is helping to make our community and our world better. And so I'm consistently inspired by the commitment, the level of excellence that everyone adheres to, and I just feel honored, like my colleagues, to be able to learn so much from this board, and just the unwavering commitment of you all, as well as staff, throughout the year. So I want to thank you for a great year. Looking forward to 2024 and an official welcome to the newest board member, Al Lopez. Welcome. I know you will enjoy this board, and it seems as though you definitely enjoy public service, as we all do. So you will have fun on this board. Thank you, Madam Chair, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you, Vice Chair Clark. And I just want to add my sentiments that how much we value, Jane, you, your leadership, and the team that represent this agency with so much integrity and the quality of the work that you do. And you're all stretched so thin. We know that. But you serve such a geographically large and populous region to ensure that we all have a safe place to live and a high quality standard for our water and our environment. That is just so valuable to everybody who lives, works, or travels to our region. So thank you. Also to my fellow board members, it is such an honor to serve with all of you, and welcome again to our newest member. But I truly cherish serving with all of you. I wish everyone, including our community members, our fellow public agencies, the members of the public who are so engaged, I just wish everyone a very safe and happy holiday. God bless you and your families, your loved ones, and wish us all a very wonderful new year as we're about to welcome 2024. But I look forward to seeing everyone in February for our next meeting. God bless you all. And with that, we'll adjourn our meeting.